I did say a couple of weeks ago that I'd finished my series on Principles for Victory. However, I'm going to continue it because I'm still aware that there are people that need to get victory in their lives. I know that there are people in the congregation who are really struggling. And when I say really struggling, I mean really struggling with issues, emotional issues, spiritual issues, physical issues, that I feel it necessary that we just need to keep hammering this message that the enemy is not going to win. And that we need to be people who are determined to walk in victory. Labeled this evening's message, Shake Off the Serpent. I believe that this is a significant message. I shall probably make it available on CD for the benefit of the people that aren't here and don't have access to the internet, because I feel that people need to hear this message and take it to heart and apply the principles that I'm going to talk about this evening. Because the enemy's grip is strong and relentless. And we need to be on guard all the time. And when the enemy comes against us, we need to resist him. We need to shake him off. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. The AV says schemes is wiles. The Greek is cunning, trickery, deceit, craftiness. The enemy is out to deviously trick you and trap you into missing out on the blessings that God has for you. To trick you from receiving the blessings that God has for you. To stop you from being the person of God that God wants you to be. To stop you in your ministry. To stop you growing in God. To stop you having victory in your life. And just to have you under his thumb. That's what the enemy wants. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's not man, it's the devil we're fighting. It's not a gun we need, but spiritual weapons, spiritual defences. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee, says James 4:7. And part of resisting the devil is shaking him off. In scripture, the snake is mentioned 56 times, majority of times in a negative context. Used as a picture of Satan in Genesis 3 in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:1 says this, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the animals the Lord God had made." Notice there the craftiness again, because the enemy is cruttle, he's subtle. He will convince you what he is saying is right. He will convince you that it's better to stay away from church than to come to church. He will convince you that nobody loves you, that nobody cares. He will convince you that there's no hope. He will convince you there's no point in carrying on. He's subtle. He's wily. He's crafty. Revelation 12:9 again tells you of the victory, the ultimate victory that God is going to have over the enemy. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or the Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Paul shook off a serpent in Acts 28:5. Our enemy is still the serpent and we need to shake him off daily. Let's look at Acts 28 and we'll look at this scripture here. "Once safely on shore, we found out that this island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, 'This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live.' But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects." In this instance here, the enemy, the serpent, grasped hold of Paul's hand. You notice that word clasp here? Fastened himself on the hand. A real fastening, a real heavy grip. I'm not going to let go. I've got you. But then Paul shook the serpent off. The Greek word is to shake off, so that something stuck to you shall fall off. In modern English language, we use the word shake off to refer to many things. We say we might shake off a cold, meaning that we're not going to allow it to stick to us. When we're tempted to be depressed or something like that, we say, I'm just going to shake it off. What we're really saying is that we're not going to allow whatever is bothering us to affect us. We are not going to allow the enemy to affect us and stop us from our ministry and from growing on in God. Let's look at Mark 6:11, where another shaking is talked about, and where we'll concentrate for a few moments. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there. So the disciples are being sent out to preach the word of God, to minister healing, to cast out demons. But whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Passage that's recorded in all four Gospels, so it's important. The act of physically shaking the dust from their feet was simply a message saying, you are not going to bother us or stop us. What was Satan's goal? To stop them being the people of God he had called them to be. Acts 13. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women, and the chief men of the city raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them. We're not going to let anything you have said against us stick. Psalm 140. David says, deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their hearts. They continually gather for war. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asps is under their lips. Protect me. Deliver me. I'm not going to be fall victim to the clasp of the enemy. I'm not going to be bitten by the snake. So I've got a number of areas where the serpent might bite. So types of snake bite to watch out for and how we can respond. Number one is rejection. Now this fits in with the scripture where the disciples were out there preaching the gospel, healing the sick and casting out demons, and Jesus said, whoever does not accept you when you go from them, shake them off. Don't allow anything that they have said to stop you from your future ministry. You see, what can happen is sometimes we go out and say, oh, can I pray for you? Can I just share with you something that's happened in my life and I think it's relevant for your life? Can I tell you about how Jesus has helped me and how I believe he can help you? Can I tell you how Jesus has forgiven my sin and how he wants to forgive you? Can I pray for you and pray that God might move in your life and touch your life? And sometimes physically we get the door slammed in our face, and sometimes metaphorically speaking we get the door slammed in our face. And this may be the experience that the disciples were getting. They were getting the door slammed in their face. They were getting persecution. They were getting rejection. And we all know what it feels like when we go to somebody and say, can I pray for you? Can I encourage you? Can I just share with you what Jesus means to you? And they slam the door in your face. And you do know that I'm an atheist and I don't believe in that rubbish. You do know that It's 2016 now, and this stuff is from the ark. You're a bit of a dinosaur if you believe that. You do know this. You do know that. You do know that you're a bit loopy if you believe that. What are you on that you believe this? And when the enemy bites with that kind of comment, when we're rejected, we can be tempted to say, right, I feel so rejected. I don't think I'll talk to anybody else again. I really want to talk to that somebody else about Jesus. I'm so frightened that they're going to reject me again. I think I'm going to keep quiet. And we sit down, and instead of preaching the gospel as we've been called to do, instead of praying for people like we've been called to do, instead of sharing Jesus and sharing the love of Jesus like we've been called to do, we hide away. We've been bitten by the snake of rejection. And Jesus was saying, shake that rejection off. Don't allow what other people have said to you to stop you in your ministry. Rejection, to treat you as having no value, to refuse you, to give no place to you, to spit out, to refuse, to cast away. See, none of us like being cast away. We like to be liked, don't we? We like people to smile at us, not be angry with us. We like people to accept us, not reject us. But people rejected Jesus all the time, and he went on with his ministry and with life. He was despised and rejected by men, says Isaiah 53:3. The stone the builders rejected had become the capstone. Luke 10:16, Jesus reminds us, he who listens to you listens to me, he who rejects you rejects me. So we're in good company. They rejected Jesus. Don't be surprised that they're going to reject you. We need to be people who need to shake rejection off. Think about David in the Old Testament. His brothers rejected him. You remember at Goliath and everything, and his brothers said, well, who are you? You know, you've just come to bring us the cheese and pickle sandwiches. Who do you think you are? You're only a little kid. You go back off home. Who do you think you are? He'd heard from God. He was going to do what God had told him to do. He was going to get victory over the enemy, and yet there was rejection all around him. He had to shake off that rejection. Saul hated David for years and tried to kill him. Rejection bites at self-esteem because as people we all like to be liked. We like to be recognized. But at the bottom of the bottom line is that we know that we are accepted by God. We don't live to please men. We live to please God. Men may reject you, but men are like grass. They appear one day and gone the next. They wither like the grass. God's acceptance of us endures forever. There's a story about a chap called Campbell Morgan. Campbell Morgan was a Baptist preacher. He was the minister of the Westminster Chapel, the big Baptist church in central London. In the early 1900s, at the turn of the 19th century, 20th century. And he applied for the ministry. He believed that God had called him to the ministry, and he went up for an interview, and one of the things that he was asked to do was preach a message. So he preached the message, and really believed that God had called him. And Campbell Morgan, by the way, became a very good, famous evangelical preacher at Westminster Chapel, big church in London. And there he was, applying for the ministry, really believed that God had called him, so he was called up before the big guys and said, right, okay, you're going to preach a message, and we're going to see whether you're all right or not. So he went into this auditorium that was seated 1,000, and there in front of him was 20 men that was listening to his message. So Campbell Morgan got behind the pulpit, and he started, and he knew it wasn't going well. He really found it difficult. It really was tough, and he really didn't do himself well. And the long short of it, he got a letter from the Baptist people, and they said, Baptist Association, sorry, Mr. Morgan, we don't feel at this time that it's appropriate for you to be part of the Baptist ministry. Well, he was rejected, felt like giving up. Well, that's it. You know, blow it all. I'm just going to hide. I'm just going to go and work for Sainsbury's or something like that. And he spoke to his father about it, and he just said, Dad, I just feel rejected. And his dad sent a telegram back saying this: rejected on earth, but accepted in heaven. And sometimes we might feel that as if our ministry is not accepted, that our words of encouragement are accepted, that our testimony is accepted, that our witness is accepted, that our prayer is accepted by men. But boy, are you accepted by God? And that's all that matters. So don't allow the enemy to bite you with rejection and to immobilize you and to get his grip around you so that you're frozen to the spot and do nothing. But shake it off, saying, I'm a child of God. I will continue to do that which he has called me to do. Types of snakebite to watch out for. Offense. Matthew 24:10-12. And then many will be offended, will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. One of the things that we were discussing in house groups this week, I don't know how it came up, but part of it was we were talking about people who had become disillusioned with church, no longer come. We were talking about backsliders and people that once knew God, once knew Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and participated in ministry, were worship leaders. And now you see them in the street and you smile at them and you talk to them about church and they look at you as if you're from another planet. And we said, what caused it? What caused it? And we were saying, a lot of people in church circles get offended. Offended at what people might say. People are offended at a remark someone might say. Francis Frangipane said this, the occasions for taking offence are practically endless. Indeed, we're daily given the opportunity to either be offended by something or to possess an unoffendable heart. So, what can you get offended about? What others say to us? Comments that people say to us. You can take offence at some things that are completely innocent. Somebody made a cake for me once, and they gave it to me, and they asked me what I thought of it. To be honest with you, what it did, when I tasted it, it tasted just like a sponge cake that my mother used to make, that we used to have at home when we were a kid. Well, we used to have, it was a sponge cake with currants in the middle, that out the oven, I can taste it now, and we used to have it on custard as kids. So the person said to me, what did you think to my cake? And I said, it would taste nice with custard. Because it reminded me of what I had when I was a kid. Tastes like a custard. And that particular person took offence at that. Because she thought that I was saying that I wanted custard because it tasted dry. And I wanted custard because I wanted to smother the taste of what it really tasted like. Took offence. That person wrote it down and added it to the list of other things that she was offended about. And this is the kind of thing that can happen in the church. We can take offence not only with what brothers and sisters say amongst us, but we can take offence at what other people might say out in the world. Sarcastic remarks that were said in jest, but we take to heart. And we take them home and we brood over them. And we think about them. And we're offended about them. And get so offended about them that we mooch over them and get so offended by about them that suddenly we find ourselves immobilized in ministry. Our joy is stolen from us. Our life is taken from us. And all we can think about is what this person said. Probably 9 times out of 10, they didn't mean what they thought that they said in the first place. But you get what I'm saying. The enemy is subtle. The enemy is crafty. What others did to us. Selfish actions, humiliating experiences can cause us the seed of offence to germinate in our hearts. Sometimes people will do things to us that will humiliate us. Sometimes people will make us look small. But hey, again, this is what we're talking about. Look, it's not about us, it's about Jesus. It's about God. It's about serving Him. It's about glorifying Him. Not about our pride. You know, sometimes our pride is hit. Sometimes it's perhaps a time to humble ourselves and recognize it's not about us. It's about God. What people didn't do for us. What people didn't thank us for. I'm not doing that again because nobody ever said thank you the last time that I did it. The enemy's bitten you. We need to shake offence off. Psalm 119:165. Blessed is the man who is offended and nothing. How can we overcome offence? Acts 24:16 is a very interesting verse. It says, therefore, this is Paul saying this, I always exercise and discipline myself to have a clear conscience, void of offence toward God and men. So one of the things, we can get offended with God, we can get stroppy with God. Let's remember that God is God and we just need to submit to Him. Be determined to prepare for the offence when it comes, and it will have no power over you. So be like Paul, who disciplined himself to say, I'm not going to let offence trouble me. I am determined that I am not going to be offended by anybody. And if anybody says anything to me, it will be like water off a duck's back. I'm going to shake it off. Practical steps. So be determined not to be offended. Cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. Ephesians 5:19. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. Love and joy and peace and kindness and gentleness. You know, cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Another thing that we can, practical step, stop brooding over the offence. Thinking too much often makes you jump to conclusions that are oftentimes not based on fact. Live your life in the Word of God. Psalm 119:165 says this, great peace have they which love the law, and nothing shall offend them. Don't be bitten by rejection. Don't be bitten by offence. Don't be bitten by anger. Don't get so angry that you sin. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil a chance. We've spoken about this on previous occasions, so I won't go too much into this. But anger leads to bitterness, and bitterness leads to hatred. Don't make me angry because you wouldn't like to see me when I'm angry. I've written that's the Incredible Hulk. Yeah, do you remember that? When was it on the 1970s? Do you all know? Is it on now? Is it? You watch that?
Yeah. Horror Channel.
On the Horror Channel. Oh, good gracious me. No wonder you're not sleeping, Alec, if that's what you're watching. What is it? Is it David Banner or something like that? Marvel Comics, you know. And don't get me angry because you wouldn't like to see me angry. You know, and it's all about, I haven't seen it for years. It was the 1970s when I used to watch it. And what would happen is that this fella, just for Joshua's benefit, I'll tell you, this chap had an accident in some kind of radiation treatment or something, right? And when this fellow got angry, what happened? He used to boil up, and he used to grow into about three or four times the size that he really was. He used to turn green, and he used to have muscles all over his plate. And his clothes used to tear. And he used to become an angry Hulk, an incredible Hulk. And he used to go ripping things apart and throwing people over buildings and throwing cars up in the air and goodness knows what. Bit of a comic sign of situation. Comic strip sign of situation. And the line that David Banner used to have is, don't make me angry because you wouldn't like to see me if I was angry. Because he knew that if he got angry, he would turn into the Incredible Hulk. And I wonder whether that's how we can get, you know, you get the picture that I'm trying to paint here. That if we get angry, anger leads to hatred. Hatred, you know, anger leads to bitterness. Bitterness leads to hatred. And suddenly, the whole situation has exploded. Just like with the Incredible Hulk. There's only one thing that we should get angry with. And that's angry with sin. And angry with the enemy. So don't allow the snake bite of anger to get you. Types of snake bite to watch out for? Discouragement. Be strong and courageous, said Moses to Joshua. Don't be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that you, the Lord swore to your forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. Courage, to be alert, physically or mentally strong, to prevail, to be steadfast-minded. Discourage, to deprive of confidence, hope, of spirit, to deter and dissuade. Just sharing with Martin this evening, just before we started, and he got his phone out, and he says, funny enough, this is one of these sports emails I've got this week, just about this, about not being discouraged. And on the phone, there was the very scripture that I was mentioning tonight. Do not be discouraged, but take courage. God is on your side. And so often, we can become disappointed about things. When people don't meet our expectations or treat us the way that we expect, when our circumstances don't meet expectations, when we expect more of ourselves than we're able to perform, get discouraged about all kinds of things. Things that aren't important sometimes. But we get so discouraged, so downhearted, so disappointed with ourselves, with other people, with circumstances in general, that we think, oh, there's no hope, you know, oh, dear again, not. Hang on a minute. Hasn't God promised to be on my side? Hang on a minute. Hasn't God promised to be my strength? Hasn't God promised never to leave me or forsake me? Hang on a minute. What is there to be discouraged about? What is there to be disappointed about? Because in God is my hope. We can get so discouraged about many things. William Ward said this, discouragement is dissatisfaction with the past, distaste for the present, and distrust of the future. It is ingratitude for the blessings of yesterday, indifference for the opportunities of today, and insecurity regarding the strength of tomorrow. It is unawareness of the presence of beauty, unconcern for the needs of our fellow man, and unbelief in the promises of old. It is impatience with time, immaturity of thought, and impoliteness to God. I know that it's easy to get discouraged and easy to think things aren't going the way that they should be. But hey, don't allow the enemy to bite you and immobilize you so that you just curl up in a ball and say, well, I'm just going to stay in this corner for a few minutes. I'm going to stay in this corner for a few weeks. I'm going to stay in this corner for a few months. I'm just going to stay out of the way. Don't be so discouraged that the enemy has bitten you to the extent that you miss out on the blessings that God has for you. And you stop being the person of God that God wants you to be, in as much as that your ministry is immobilized and your encouragement is immobilized, your witness is immobilized, your love for people is immobilized because you've been gripped by discouragement. We need to shake it off. One last thing. Self-pity. Nothing goes right for me. I'm full of aches and pains. I've got no money. I'm no good at this. I'm a failure. No one likes me. so self-absorbed that we forget others. So self-absorbed that we forget that there is a life to be lived. Lamentations 3:24. The Lord is my portion. He is everything that I need. The Lord is my strength. I'm not going to allow anyone or anything to hold me back. But let's make sure that we're not bitten by the snake. Let's make sure that we're not bitten by rejection. No, we're not going to have anything. No, we're going to shake you off, enemy. Let's make sure that we're not offended. Now, I use that illustration of that person being offended because I'd said the cake would taste nice with custard for a number of reasons. A, because it was a good illustration, but B, it showed how silly things can get sometimes. And how silly we can be offended over silly little things. And how subtle and how crafty and how wily and how rotten the enemy is. Shake it off. No, we're not going to allow silly remarks to prevent my ministry. Not going to allow the enemy just to get his foot in the door and steal my joy and steal the life and hope and joy that I have. Oh yes, we can get discouraged. We can be disappointed about things. We can get disappointed with ourselves. But hey, God is there to help us. And he says, come on. There's always a second chance. There's always a fresh start. Come on. Don't be so disappointed and so discouraged with yourself that you won't try again. Shake the enemy off. Shake self-pity off so that you're not so self-absorbed that you forget why you're here. God created you to be a blessing to other people. Hallelujah. To witness, to tell others about him, to pray for other people, to see God move in their lives. Let's not allow the enemy to get a grip on us that we miss out. We'll make one last remark. Need to make this remark for those that are listening, and it's particularly with reference to depression. All right, because so often I am misunderstood when I talk about depression. Because sometimes, Ian, you've told me to shake my depression off. And you just can't shake it off. Okay, so let me just address that kind of argument tonight. Your depression, now I've never suffered really from bad depression, so I really, you know, in many ways don't understand sometimes how people can feel. And sometimes, yes, depression can come up very dreadfully upon people, and it's a very dark cloud and it's a heavy weight. And I'm not saying in any respect that it's your fault that you feel this way, and that you've done something wrong, that this is the way that you feel. But what I am saying is that you can choose how you respond to your depression. So are you going to say, well, I'm going to give in to it? I'm just going to all right, I'm depressed, and this is the way that I'm going to be for the rest of my life, depressed. Or are you going to say, I'm not going to allow the enemy to get hold of this, and I'm going to get victory. And Lord, with your help, I'm going to make that choice to shake this off, if you understand what I mean. Do you understand what I'm saying here? You know, it's not a condemning of anybody that's suffering from depression, but I'm just saying that what it is that we all have choices to make when the enemy comes against us. And the choice that we have to make is, enemy, we're not having any of it. We're going to make that choice not to allow him to get his grip on us. But with God's help, we're going to walk in victory. Father, we thank you for your word. And that you told your disciples to shake off the dust from their feet when they were rejected, as a sign that they were not going to allow that rejection to affect their ministry in the next town. And so, Father, I pray for those amongst our own congregation, even maybe some people here tonight, who have felt rejected by other people, who have not received their ministry, not received their witness, not received their testimony, not received their offer for prayer, and now it has made them hesitant to again share their testimony or pray for them again. And Lord, tonight I pray that you would just help them just to shake this rejection off and to recognize that Jesus was rejected, but he carried on. And so we need to as well. Father, I pray for those who have been bitten by offense. Sometimes it's a silly offense. Sometimes it's a serious offense. Sometimes it's the way they feel is justified because they've been treated rotten. But sometimes that offense can immobilize us to the extent that we stop our ministry and our joy is taken away. And the enemy has got us under his grip. And so, Father, I pray for those that have been offended. Father, I pray that they would right now make that decision that they will take no offense any longer. Yeah. And that they will move on. And that they will carry on. Father, I pray for those who've been disappointed and discouraged. Disappointed because things have not met their expectation. Disappointed because other people have failed them. Disappointed because they feel that they have failed themselves. And feel that, oh, everything is too much. Can't do it. Father, I pray that they would take their courage from you and that they would recognize that you are with them and that you are their strength. And so, Father, I pray that they would recognize that there is a new start in you, in Jesus' name. And Father, for those that would be absorbed in self-pity, I've got no money, I've got full of aches and pains, I've got nobody likes me, and all these things that we can get self-absorbed in. Father, help us to recognize that when we get so self-absorbed in ourselves that we forget what we're here for, to tell others about Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that each and every one of us in this congregation, everybody in our church, those here, those at home this evening, Father, would recognize that you have something special for them, that they are blessed and blessed indeed, and that they are blessed to be a blessing to other people. You have chosen them to pray for people, to witness to people, to love people, and to see victory in their lives as well. And so, Father, I pray that you will enable us, Jesus, just to shake the enemy off, to make that choice that the enemy is not going to have his way, but to make that choice that you, Lord, are going to have your way, and nothing in the whole of earth, ourselves, other people, the enemy, is not going to stop us from doing that which you've called us to do. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.